Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our epistle lesson from 2 Peter chapter 1. Well, I knew her mom. She had joined the church when she was in her 70s. She'd been at a Lutheran church up the road and came and visited the church where I was serving and decided that, well, she wanted to move her membership there. And, she told me about her daughter. Well, her daughter that she'd raised up in the faith, you know, was baptized, confirmed, all that good stuff. And her daughter, when she was getting a little bit older, started to play the organ. And in fact, she got to the point where she was good enough that she started playing for the church, the Lutheran church there. And so there she was, serving, a faithful follower, until one day, and no one knows why, her mother didn't know, but one day she stopped believing. She went into the pastor there, told him, it's like, hey, quit the church. I'm not going to go anymore. I'm not going to be your organist. She left and never went back. Now, her mother told me, she's like, well, I asked her all kinds of questions about, you know, what was up. You know, it's like, why did you quit believing? She said she never told me why. Never once. Well, her mother told me that she was married. Her husband was a believer, and that, he was a shut-in. And she was going over to her house there, told her son-in-law, it's like, hey, well, this is the church I'm going to now. Why don't you move your membership down there? Have the pastor come by and see you. Well, that's exactly what he did. So I went out for the first time, had a good visit with his wife there, you know, her daughter, and the man, great visit. And then decided we were going to have communion. Well, at that point in time, she stepped up, politely excused herself, and started to walk away. So I stopped her and asked her, and said, if you don't mind, why don't you join us? And she replied, she's like, well, I don't believe in that anymore. I'm like, really? Why don't you believe like you once did? And here's her reply. One day I thought the Bible was written by a bunch of guys, not by God. So why should I believe what a bunch of guys probably made up? She smiled and walked into another room. Well, Peter writes in our epistle lesson today, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Well, this verse was written for folks just like this woman. See, people back in Peter's day, well, they were accusing him of telling stories. The people to whom Peter was writing, well, they were being persecuted for their faith. Peter had been telling them all about Jesus, okay, about how he would return and bring all believers with him to heaven. And all these folks that were persecuting them, well, they would all be judged. And those are the words that Peter was sharing there with them. Well, quite frankly, they were words of encouragement, you know, to help support them in their faith. Because, well, the people there, well, they were kind of believing things along this line. It's like, you know, all of these folks here who are persecuting us, well, nothing's happening to them. You know, why should I believe if God can't take care of something like this? Well, Peter was saying, no, God is still in charge. We didn't make this up. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when we received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We were there with him when the God the Father said that. Now, Peter, he's writing to them, you know, saying that he saw all of this in person. He was there when Jesus was transfigured. And that refers to our gospel reading for today. He was there when they got a good glimpse of what he was all about. And Peter's saying here this, that, you know, this is not some cleverly devised myth. Rather this, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit's job is to create faith in a person. See, the Holy Spirit works through people. All right? That's what God intended. The Holy Spirit works through you and I. He works through people like he did in the Old Testament. You see, that's why Moses was there, representing the law. And Elisha was there with Jesus, representing the prophets. It's all pointing out, all of Scripture there, that who is this guy? Well, this is Jesus. It's pointing to the fact that everything here in God's Word is directing our attention to Jesus. That's why they were there on the mountain, to get a good eyewitness of who Jesus is. You know, Deacon Anthony pointed out very clearly here. It's like, hey, this guy here, Jesus, he's not just as good as Moses and Elijah. He's more, right? He's the Son. The Father is pleased with him. You need to listen to him. And so when they see Jesus transfigured there, his face shining like the sun, clothes whiter than white, wow, they're getting a good idea that Jesus is God. So the Holy Spirit then uses this word to communicate with us. Paul writes in Romans, faith comes from hearing the message through Jesus Christ. So we do indeed hear God's word every Sunday morning. It's being preached all around the world. That's what the Holy Spirit is using to communicate that word to direct our attention to Jesus. You see, part of how the Holy Spirit does that is that, well, quite frankly, he points out our sins. He points those out so that we understand that we have sinned against God by breaking his commandments. And so when we despair that we've hurt God, well, that's a good thing, because then that gives the Holy Spirit the opportunity then to direct our attention to Jesus. To hear these words that you have heard time and again, words that Jesus came to die on the cross, to earn the forgiveness of those sins, to take away the pain that hurts the Father. And as Jesus rose from the grave alive, they're giving us hope, hope of everlasting life. So because we are forgiven people of God, one day we will be indeed welcomed into heaven. That's the gospel. And that's the message that Peter shared. That's what the people heard and believed. You see, you and I, we're no different than them. So, yeah, there's going to be days in which things happen to us and start to create doubts in our minds there. It's like, well, is this stuff that I'm believing really true? Okay? Same like the people then. You see, those are examples for us so that when things like that happen to them, we can relate to them. Yeah, we have that. But yet at the same time, just like they had God's word, so do we. And so like Peter, I'm here to tell you that this is no cleverly invented story. While I'm not an eyewitness of Jesus and his glory there on that mountain, I still believe. I still believe by virtue of the fact that same word that they heard, I've heard too. The Holy Spirit has instilled faith in my heart. And so as we recall that definition of faith is found in Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's key there. The conviction of things not seen. Okay, that includes every one of us here in this room. We did not see the events written in the Bible. We did not see any of them. But even though you didn't see them, how many of you still believe? You see, as John says in his gospel, right there towards the end, but these things are written down that Jesus is the Christ, that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. You see, that's how the Holy Spirit works. Okay? It's not stories. It's God's word. And the Holy Spirit has worked through various people. All these things have been written down for our benefit, that we might come to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what we all take, by faith. Faith that God has given to us. Well, the former organist's husband, well, he got sick one day and he ended up dying. And so I went to talk to her about the funeral. She had a couple of things that she definitely wanted to have in the service, but otherwise she left everything up to me. And so on that day of the service, many years ago, I shared these words about her husband. Larry did indeed love his Lord. It was so important for him to receive the Lord's Supper. For in this way, it connected him to his Lord when he couldn't comfortably go to church to worship him there. Larry had a lot of health struggles, yet in spite of those health struggles, it did not hurt his faith. But as I see it, quite frankly, it only served to strengthen his faith, because it caused him to rely on the Lord that much more. So even though he didn't get to church very often, it didn't matter. The Lord would come to him. Indeed, the Lord does come to us, just like it did to him, when we come here and receive Christ's body and blood. When we receive Christ's body and blood there, and that we are assured yet again that we have the forgiveness of sins, just like we do in our baptism. All of these promises are given to you and I. It's all ways in which God is showing his love to us. And where do we learn all of these things? In God's Word. That's where he comes to us, working in our hearts. You know, it's interesting. He knew he was sick and wasn't feeling well. And he knew that this was the last opportunity that he knew his wife would hear God's Word that day, on the day of his funeral. Well, she came up to me after the service and said, well, he would have been very pleased by this service. And that was the last I saw her, because she made it very clear to me, I don't want you ever coming to see me again. Don't call me. We're done. And that was it. Every time I come across this particular passage, I think of her. I think about all the other folks who are out there who don't believe for whatever reason. But yet at the same time, I'm still encouraged by those words, because those same words there are meant for you and I. It's for the strengthening of our faith. Because as we go back and read God's Word, we come across passages like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. You see, that same word that was written then, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the promise that God gives to us. His word doesn't change. It's there, directing our attention to Jesus Christ our Lord, who has saved us for everlasting life.